First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
You're listening to Karen Cataline as a regular guest host of the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline filling in for today. And we're going to open this hour with someone I personally have, one of my favorite guests. I tell him that all the time because he is. And I haven't talked to him in ages. He is senior editor at The Stream or stream.org, press secretary for Louisiana governor. Our bio for him is a little bit outdated, so I'm going to let him tell us because he has a podcast now and I want everybody to know it. John Zemirak joins us right now on The Alan Nathan Show. Hi, John.
Hi, Karen. Thank you. Actually, what I want to announce is my new book, which is available for pre-order on Amazon. It's called No Second Amendment, No First. And it's about the historical intimate connection between gun rights and religious freedom for minorities, going back basically really all the way to the Old Testament, but especially going back to the American founding. Most people don't know that the text of our Second Amendment was lifted almost verbatim from the English Bill of Rights from 1690. And only in the English Bill of Rights, it specified that no Protestant could be deprived the right to carry firearms. It was an explicit recognition of the fact that Protestants, especially the Puritans, had been religiously persecuted by the English government for 40 years. So the need for private firearms was directly connected to religious freedom. So in our Second Amendment, it applied to everyone. But the point is, our founders were very consciously aping the English Puritans who had overthrown King James II. Our founders saw that without weapons, you are a veal calf waiting for the government to slaughter you. And in the book, I show how this was true, how the Nazis disarmed the Jews in Germany, how the communists disarmed the Orthodox in Russia and the Catholics in Cuba and the Buddhists in North Korea. And I even show the fate of Christians in the Middle East, the Christians in Iraq who are helpless and who were ethnically cleansed and subjected to genocide after George Bush's Iraq war, compared to the Christians in Syria who armed themselves, allied with the Kurds, and defeated ISIS.
Well, it's so funny because we were just talking about the latest little scheme to outlaw private gun sales by the ATF, an unelected bureaucratic agency, making new rules saying that you can't. It's no secret that the communists / socialists in our government don't want peasants, namely the people, to be armed. It's just no secret. We've seen it. They've sort of come out of the closet now.
They showed us during the COVID panic just how much power they want over us. They want to be able to silence our free speech, lock us in our homes, forcibly vaccinate our children. Now we see in Montana, they want to be able to take custody away from us if we won't chemically castrate or surgically castrate our children because the school psychologist convinced our child that they're transgender. That's how bad it is. And that's why we have to be absolutely fanatical, intransigent, and extreme on the Second Amendment, because that is the pivot point. Take away our guns, and they can do anything to us. And they also showed us during the COVID panic that they're willing to do anything to us.
They
did indeed. Look at the January 6th defendants. These are people who are being, there are people who didn't even enter the Capitol who are now being prosecuted for felony trespassing when nobody even knew that the Capitol grounds had been closed. Meanwhile, the people who burned down New York and Detroit and Seattle are getting settlements from the cities, paying them. Thank you for burning our city and looting our stores. Here's a check from the government. That is how bad the Democrats are. And the only thing worse than the Democrats is the swamp squish rhino Republicans. Because the Democrats, to be fair to them, are possessed by the devil. So they are not in control of their faculties. These Republicans, like Nikki Haley and Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell, they're just prostitutes. They're just traitors selling out their country for 30 pieces of silver.
How did they get that way? We all surmise, we all speculate. What's your speculation as to how the radical left, communist left, was able to co-opt and get so many to sell out their country, Republicans and Democrats?
Yeah, they used to say that the White House press club dinner was the Oscars for ugly people. Politics is Hollywood for ugly people. The left really wanted power. The left really believe in their fanatical utopia. They really want to destroy America. And the people who rose in left-wing politics were those really committed to that. In the Republican Party, it's people who wanted to make money, people who couldn't on their own merits get on the board of Boeing. But if they become governor of South Carolina and ambassador to the UN like Nikki Haley, they can end up on the board of Boeing and become a millionaire overnight without having any talents or abilities or knowledge or a work ethic. So lazy, ugly people who become Republicans do it to get rich. Lazy, ugly people who become Democrats do it to destroy America. So it's pretty simple.
See, ladies and gentlemen, this is why I love to have John Zemarek on. He never minces words. He says what he thinks. Now,
people are always telling me, John, don't hold back. John, don't hold back. Tell us what you really think. And my answer to that is, but I am holding back. And they say, well, John, if this is you holding back, you just go on holding back then.
Well, you know, such an important point. I'm glad to have you for one more segment after this, because I can't talk to you just one segment. Certainly there's plenty of true blame to go around for this. But as long as I'm talking to you about this, I've wanted to talk to you about, remember, this is a little known thing that happened during the Obama administration. Remember early on, it was like less than a 24-hour news story. It just was a blip and gone, like drive by, like Rush Limbaugh says, in which there was a high level HR breach of information to China. Remember that?
I don't, because so much, the
Look
monkeys have thrown so much poop at the side of the cage that I've lost track of that old block on the wall.
I would like you to look that up. Maybe you could write about it, because you're so prolific. And now I'm not anymore. You're so prolific. It was something I never forgot. I just put it in my memory bank and never forgot it, that the human resource files, there was a computer breach, and communist China got our high-level HR files. Now, at the time, like most things, and I've remembered a lot of things from that period, at the time, nobody thought much of it. Well, you know, whatever. Now we know, because Faust is one of my most clear analogies. You know, it's either bribery, blackmail, or bullying, the three B's, that get people to change or sell out their country. Now they sell out for a ham sandwich, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But if,
for a pat
if
on
the government,
head.
Yeah, if the government has your greatest peccadilloes and your greatest things you want to keep quiet or perfect, whether it's a sexual, whether it's money, whether it's cheating, lying, stealing, whatever, HR has that. Does anybody, can you say Jeffrey Epstein? So how is it possible that all of these politicians like Ken Buck of Colorado suddenly flipped? They no longer believe in the Constitution. I don't want to go on. I want, you know, I would like, because we you're here partly to talk about that fact that Ilhan Omar, which is stunning, is better than Lindsey Graham. When and how can this ever be exposed, if it ever could, that, you know, communists and socialists who infiltrated our government, not that they're not responsible, who sold out, used the carrot or the stick.
Right. Well, I think we just need to focus on liquidating the traitors in our midst. Later on, we can figure out how and well, we beat them in primaries. We need real conservatives to primary Lindsey Graham and beat him.
You know what? We need, this is why we like to have him on a second segment. We're going to pick it up right there. Beat him in primaries, which is great when the Democrats are infiltrating our primaries too. We'll talk to John Zemirak of thestream.org and an author of a new book. When we come back, don't go away. Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan Nathan on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
From debut author Carolina Ixta comes an unforgettable new young adult novel, Shut Up, This Is Serious, tells the story of two Latina girls growing up in East Oakland who face a world full of messy complexities as they try to navigate their high school years. Belen wants the normal teen stuff, to hang out with friends, experience love, or maybe even have a boyfriend. But nothing is normal in her East Oakland community. Her father left her family. She's at risk of not graduating. And Letty, her religious best friend, is pregnant by the boyfriend she hasn't told her parents about. Weighed by a depression she can't seem to shake, Belen sees her other classmates getting ready for college. But what future is there for girls like her? Author Carolina Ixta.
Shut Up, This Is Serious deals with topics such as racism, generational trauma, and teen pregnancies, though it's also about the fierce and intimate uplifting power of friendship and chosen family.
Shut Up, This Is Serious is now available wherever books are sold.
It's become an annual headache for retailers. After the Christmas shopping frenzy, what to do with a post-holiday wave of customer returns? Last year, U.S. retailers spent more than $7 billion processing returned items, but new research has found that providing more personalized shopping options could protect retailers against losing money in 2024 by reducing the volume of returns and essentially reducing waste. Here to tell us more about this is Megan Hostetler, Director of Product Marketing at SAP and Marsys Customer Engagement.
Our research found that over half, that's 54% of consumers, do their absolute best to avoid retailers that charge to return an item. We know this is an ever-occurring problem. And for me as a consumer, if we receive a more tailored and personalized customer experience, the volume of these returns will drop. This research by SAP Amarsys Customer Engagement will launch at NRF in 2024. To learn more, visit amarsys.com/NRF.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Jason Derulo. I love that music connects to people all over the country. But unfortunately, so does something else. Childhood hunger. 15 million kids struggle with hunger right here in America. And yet, every year, billions of pounds of surplus food in the U.S. go to waste instead of going to the children in need. Feeding America is working to change this. The Feeding America Nationwide Network of Food Banks rescues this surplus of food to help provide meals to families in virtually every community in the United States, including yours. But they just can't do this alone. Join me in the fight against hunger in America. For more information on what you can do to get involved, visit feedingamerica.org. That's feedingamerica.org. Together we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America. A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, and we are talking for one more segment with John Zemirak, senior editor of The Stream and author of the new book just coming out with I probably got it wrong. You tell us, and where do we find it? No Second Amendment without the First Amendment?
No Second Amendment, no First. No Second Amendment, no First, and you can pre-order it on Amazon. It's from Kalamo Books, who also did Jack Prozobich's last book. So let's talk about this Elon Omar thing. My column at stream.org that I hope everybody goes to read is called Elon Omar, Model American. I joked that.
I have it Nikki in front Haley, of me, and I thank you. Yes.
If Nikki Haley got the Republican nomination, I would ballot harvest for Elon Omar if she was a Democrat. Nikki Haley and all the other rhinos that she represents, they would give us 99.99% of the abortion, transgenderism, and perversion and open borders that the Democrats promised. But as a special bonus, the Republicans would throw in World War III with Russia or China or both of them at the same time.
I just got to say, I don't see the Democrats doing anything but the same thing right now. They're pro-war. All that stuff about Democrats being anti-war, it's gone. It's zip. It never existed.
But the Republicans are more fervently for World War III. They're more excited about it. So in my column, I look at the things Elon Omar was caught saying about Somalia. He was saying that basically she's Somalia first. She is going to make sure that the U.S. Congress acts in the national interests of Somalia, that it looks out for the people of Somalia, that it focuses on what's important, Somalian interests. Now, you and I are irritated by that because technically she's an American citizen, and technically she's taken an oath of office to defend our Constitution. So that's all very bad. But what I want to point out is, the way Elon Omar is for Somalia is the way Republicans should be for America, but they're not. They're not, and they haven't been since the 90s. The rhinos, the neocons, they don't care about America as it is or the people who live in America. Their first loyalty is to some abstract ideology of Americanism. It's a really cheap, shallow interpretation of the Declaration of Independence that turns our founding document into an ideology like communism. This is what George Bush said in his second inaugural address, that America is an ideological project, just the way the Soviet Union was. And our job is to spread global revolution, just the way the Soviets did. Only we want a global revolution that recreates American secular mass democracy everywhere. So that's why we should invade Iraq and Afghanistan and Syria and have troops all over the world, because it's our job to sacrifice the actual best interests of the people in the country for the sake of this global revolutionary project. That is neoconservatism. It is simply it's like a mirror image of Soviet communism, where we want a globalist ideology for export, and we're going to sacrifice our citizens' best interests for the sake of that. And you see it in this immigration deal. The Republicans are offering us a few crumbs, a few million dollars to guard our borders, but the price is something like $80 billion to prolong the bloodbath quagmire in Ukraine.
I don't see much difference when they're all working, and I know this is a very broad general question, when they're all working for the same ends, which is the effective end of America. As peasants, we are on the receiving end of terrorists who are imported into this country along with people who have no allegiance to self-government, et cetera, et cetera. It's hard for me to understand how people who've paid lip service, like the Mitch McConnells and the Ken Bucks and all of these people who are for open borders no matter what, how they're any different whatsoever. It's like, you know, the zombie has gotten hold of their brain. It just doesn't seem that there's really any difference. They all attending the same meetings at the
WEF.
Exactly. That's my question.
The only difference is, okay, in World War II, if we captured some German soldiers, we would intern them as POWs because they were enemy combatants.
Yeah.
But if we found spies, we would just hang them. Okay, so the Democrats are just enemy soldiers. They openly say they want to tear down our statues, rip up our history, and fundamentally transform our country. So they're just enemy soldiers. These pseudo-Republicans, these sellouts, these are traitors. Hmm. These are spies. These are worse. The rhinos are the real enemy. They are the enemy within. It's bad if you have a noisy, aggressive neighbor. It's much worse if he's squatting in your home, sleeping in the master bed, trying to have sex with your spouse. That is the rhinos.
Or the people that colluded who professed to be, I hate to use this example, being Jewish, but the Jews that colluded with the Nazis for a few extra pieces of bread.
Right, they did it out of fear, though. I wouldn't compare it because they did it out of fear.
It's hard. It's so scary. Yeah.
These people are doing it just to get on the board of Boeing.
Out of greed.
Just to get an extra speaking fee.
John, there's a huge war going on all over this country, but I'm watching it in Colorado where there's this website called Rhino Watch. And so the rhinos, they're doing exactly what you suggested. RhinoWatch.com, I think, or Rhino Watch Colorado. And the big debate is, well, what really is a rhino? And the rhinos are asking, well, why don't you define what that means? Does that mean, you know, I don't want independence what is it? Tell me.
I've got it. Here is the litmus test for rhinos. It's very simple.
Okay.
Do you want the January 6th footage made public or do you want it kept secret? Are you willing to send innocent people to prison in order not to undermine the narrative of the Capitol Police, which is a direct quote from Mitch McConnell? We should not release these videotapes because they undermine the narrative of the Capitol Police. So innocent people will be deprived of exculpatory evidence that they are legally entitled to in order to keep the Capitol Police happy. Any Republican who favors keeping the January 6th tape secret, you know he is your enemy, the enemy of your country, the enemy of your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren.
Hmm.
It's very simple. That's the litmus test.
And are there any others? Because we got maybe, another 30 seconds. Are there any others?
All right, this immigration border deal, which opens our borders to terrorists and millions of welfare cases in order to prolong a bloody quagmire killing Ukrainians by the thousands for no reason at all.
Mm-hmm.
Are two pretty good litmus tests.
I'd say so too. It's a totally different litmus test from before. It's not like, you're for the independence because you're somewhere in the middle. There is no middle anymore. A lot of the independents are going independent because of the squishiness of Republicans. Go get John Zemirak's book at Amazon. When does it come out, John?
March 15th. No Second Amendment, no First.
No Second Amendment, no First. What an honor, what a pleasure to talk to you. Keep up the great work. When we come back, we're going to move forward. I'll tell you about our next guest when we come back. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
So when we're setting up stuff for the new year, we've come in with a lot of energy. It's good to level set, take a step back, relax just a little bit, think about the small things that we can do, that we can fit into our life right now and do them very, very well. That's the key, sustainability. So I would start with using a tracking app. That way you know what you're bringing in and what you're bringing out. MyFitnessPal is a great option for that. It's gonna help build sustainable habits over time. And to help with that, The nutritionists over at MyFitnessPal, along with Kate Hudson, have developed the Small Steps, Big Wins plan. This is a 7-day challenge that gives you the little steps that you need to build that foundation so you can meet your goals. You can go straight to the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store, download MyFitnessPal, and get started.
CES is always a proving ground for breakthrough technologies and global innovators, and I'm working with some great brands to share the latest and greatest. The S8 Max V Ultra from Roborock is redefining how we clean our homes. The deep cleaning capabilities and self-maintenance features make cleaning more convenient. Online protection experts McAfee have unveiled their new AI-powered deepfake audio detection technology. Known as Project Mockingbird, this technology will be a reliable resource for consumers amidst the rise of malicious AI-generated material online. Tonies are a great screen-free educational toy option for children. Pop any of the Tonies on top of the Tony box, and they'll play a variety of stories, songs, and lessons that can develop children's emotional intelligence with age-appropriate tech. The X-Real Air 2 Pro AR glasses are a great option for gaming, working at a desk, or incorporating augmented reality apps into your day-to-day life. And because they look like normal sunglasses, they'll fit right into your pocket and blend seamlessly into your day. For more, check out StephanieHumphrey.com.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
China is flooding our country with illegal, disposable, flavored vapes marketed towards kids. Here's Fentanyl Fathers co-founder Greg Swan with a message for parents.
Reuters is reporting that a new breed of vapes from China has confounded regulators while offering flavors like blue cotton candy to attract America's youth. With the possibility that these products can be laced with deadly fentanyl, enforcement agencies at the local, state, and federal levels need to get these illegal products off shelves.
Sponsored by Fentanyl Fathers.
I'm Maria Brous, Director of Media and Community Relations for Public Supermarkets. Every baby deserves the best possible start, but not all babies get one. March of Dimes is changing that. You can help us lead the fight for the health of all moms and babies. Join me and Publix to march for babies. Let's raise funds and be champions for families near and far. Together, we're building a brighter future. Sign up for Publix's team today at marchforbabies.org.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. We are forging ahead with our guests. And starting off on this segment, we are delighted to have Republican congressional candidate for Nevada's 1st District running against Dina Titus, who's a Democrat. He founded an appliance repair business. Isn't that who you want? And he's a stand-up comedian. How cool is that? Those are the kind of people you want. Everyday people are still connected to real life. Michael Boris joins us right now on the Alan Nathan Show. Hi, Michael. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Good. I can tell right away you speak very well. So tell us maybe a little bit about your background real quick and why you decided to run having founded an appliance repair business.
Well, the appliance repair business is how we keep food on the plate for the kids, but I'm a headlining stand-up comic and I host events all over the country in 6 other countries. I'm a published author. I also have a comic book series, and I'm listed in a lot of magazines as the voice of individual freedom. So, I mean, I've been speaking and leading people through 5 stations for the last 12 years on radio myself. And I just, in the last 10 years of my own town, the condition has never been refreshed. The entire Las Vegas, Nevada has been rebuilt except for District 1. Because Titus, I don't think, cares about the actual people. And I don't see politicians on either side, in my opinion, that have given much thought into fixing up real people's problems in my district.
When you say it was rebuilt, how was it rebuilt? Rebuilt to do or be what? Because they're redoing a lot of cities now, but it's not for the better. How is this district rebuilt?
Well, in Las Vegas itself, we don't have a lot of culture. The entire town tends to get rebuilt every 10 years, it seems like. So your childhood memories end up under a tractor or something. But our town especially has had a lot of money dumped into it due to a lot of tourism. And it just looks horrible. I mean, they're still boarded up. The small businesses are boarded up completely. And everybody's so focused on the casinos that the people that live on the outside of the town here just aren't getting the love. And as you know, our children out here are ranked 48th and 50th in the country for the lowest education level.
Well, I didn't know that for sure. And there must have been some reason in particular, not just local, but national, that made you say, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Great health insurance. This country in itself as a whole, I've watched it just go down the toilet. It's becoming almost insanity to where when you wake up, you don't even feel like you're living in the same dimension that you went to sleep in. And there has to be a change. I mean, when men are competing in women's sports and dominating the records and cancel culture's got it where as a comedian, you can't say half your material anymore because you're going to get politically incorrected off a stage or our government, I just don't believe is being run anything properly with any kind of real transparency. So I think we need more people that are just real people who are successful and educated to step up and start helping out with the government for the entire country. Otherwise, you're going to let politicians who are career politicians that really just, I don't feel, care about us.
I would think that you would be just the kind of person that the current elitists, both right and left, would like to have stay out of politics so they can run things. I have made the case for a while that the minute somebody gets to Washington or Congress or whatever, that they are presented with the carrot or the stick. Either you do it our way and we will reward you handsomely and you'll be a millionaire even though you're not on a millionaire salary, or we're going to make your life a living hell, not only just take you to the woodshed, but, you know, you'll be presented with a Faustian bargain. Everyday citizens are really distrustful of people that throw their hat in the ring. What can you say to them as to how they can be sure that you're not going to be co-opted, not going to sell out, and, you know, you're willing to take the heat? Because that what seems to be happening to new Congress critters?
Well, Congress critters. I'm going to get that on a shirt. With my base and the way I've lived my life and in the entertainment industry, I've always been extremely watched and vigilant. My reputation is known for not being, I don't lie, I don't cheat, I don't steal, I don't borrow, I don't owe anybody money, nobody owes me money. And I've always tried to set the example on a high moral character and how you should live your life. We spent a lot of time helping children deal with cancer issues and a lot of time working with veterans group and getting them off opioid addiction problems. So it's very important to keep that moral character very high, because you're not always going to be in Congress. You have to come back to the real world when this game is over, you know, be a 2-4.
Well, you are going to be if you're some of the people, if you're going to be, if you're Nancy Pelosi, and a lot of these people, septu and octogenarians who made their career and suddenly they're living in mansions and in their district and that kind of thing. So I just think, you know, it is the ultimate Faustian bargain. Whatever your weakness is, they, I think, will exploit it. Anyway, talk about your race. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
And my only weakness is cheesecake, and they're welcome to exploit that.
I bet they will. So talk about your race. Is there a primary? Are Democrats voting in your primary, which they are in other places?
No, we have a closed primary here in Nevada, and I am the candidate who has, you know, my arms are tattooed up and down, and I'm the only one that's not buying my way in. I do have a nice little war chest, and I'm keeping up with the Joneses, but the other two gentlemen I'm running against, you know, have both put in $500,000 to $800,000 of their own money, and they're career politicians who run and lose, run and lose, run and lose, and they keep just trying to run for higher offices. But they're cookie cutter, and this chair itself with Titus has had it for 10 years. The chair's been blue for 25 years. So if they don't get their head wrapped around of not sending out the same cookie cutter, who's not trusted by our district people, they're going to spend another 25 years, you know, wanting and wishing.
Yeah.
So
are you like the many unspoken issues that supposedly in a supposed free country, we're not, you know, we're not supposed to talk about. I mean, in a free country, you're supposed to be able to talk about whatever you want to talk about, but supposedly we're not allowed to talk about, which means we should be suspicious. Are you concerned about having an honest election in Nevada, whether you're a candidate or not?
I am, you know, and I was never one to get into the whole voter frauds and all these, you know, theories that they're throwing around. But when you start to see it yourself, it's shocking. This is my first year running. I've been very political my entire life, never been a politician, but it's shocking the amount of fraudulent things that you think you wouldn't see or you would just see on television that are actually really happening that the normal man just doesn't even suspect is going on. You know, I have another comedian friend I make jokes about, Benji Reyes, who doesn't have his papers for this country, but he's been voting faithfully for 9 years now.
Well, you know, so you watched that happen. Did you tell him he's not supposed to vote? He doesn't care?
Oh, you can tell Benji whatever you want. It's not going to, you know, he hates Biden.
Wow.
I'm sure he has his papers now.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. And isn't that interesting? The more law-abiding you become. Oh, all right. So what do you want to tell us just in our last minute or so about your particular race? If people would like to learn more about your race and even support you, because now a lot of people are interested in races that they don't even live in the district.
Well, I would tell everybody, get out there and vote. You have no idea how important it is, even though you hear people say it. But if you want the upper crust of society making your laws, then go ahead and keep staying at home. But if you don't complain about life, then. But you need to get up and vote. If you're over 18, get your butt up out there and vote. You can follow me online or check out my website. It's all the same. Michael Boris for Nevada, F-O-R Nevada, and that's B-O-R-I-S, Boris. And again, just vote. It's register Republican, because everybody's Republican. They just don't know it yet if they're not registered. And get out
well,
there.
Well, I don't know about that, but it would be nice. Can people see your comedy as well?
You can see a lot of the stuff I do. The comedy I don't like to post because there are joke thieves, and you want to be able to be fresh when you go up there. But there's stuff. You can see me on Amazon Prime on Halitosis. Is a movie that I just
you were muffled there. Halitosis, did you say?
Yes, Halitosis is a trauma film.
Ah, okay. Well, thank you. All right. I didn't hear that. I'm sorry. I got to run. Oh, we'll hear it on the playback. Michael Boris, B-O-R-I-S. Find him. Look him up. And thank you for joining us, Michael. We so appreciate it. We're going to wrap up the show with one more guest. Don't go away. We'll tell you about him when we return.
The Citizens Award program is one that we started here 25 years ago to honor the businesses that are taking the lead in solving the world's biggest challenges. And what we find they're really doing is using talent, their resources, really digging deep into the expertise they have as a company and putting that work for their communities. This year, we got to honor 11 organizations all over the country. Who are really making a difference in their communities. We cast a wide net. We've got 9 categories. We've got large business, small business, medium-sized business, civic organizations. And the breadth of what they're doing is just astonishing and inspiring. You've got companies like Medtronic, whose employees volunteered 190,000 hours in their communities last year. Please go to uschamberfoundation.org. You can take an idea and make it right for the place that you live and the people that you serve.
New federal data confirms that illegal, disposable, flavored e-cigarettes drive youth vaping. Here's former Office of National Drug Control Policy Director Gil Kerlikowski.
The latest data shows that Chinese-made illegal disposable vapes marketed in youth-enticing flavors are pouring into our country. The DEA has warned that these illegal products can be laced with fentanyl. The FDA must increase enforcement action.
Sponsored by Communities United for Smart Policy.
Heart valve disease is more common than you or your doctor may think, especially as you get older. It's serious but treatable with the proper diagnosis. If you or a loved one are experiencing shortness of breath, fatigue, chest tightness or pressure, dizziness or fainting, talk to your doctor and ask for an echocardiogram to get diagnosed early and enjoy your best quality of life. Learn more at askforecho.com. That's ask4echo.com.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of 3 boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard. So you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
I look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
You don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your organs on the black market.
Lie back. This is gonna hurt.
Yeah, that hurts.
You don't need to rent out your apartment to drifters.
I made a fire with the wood in your bedroom.
That's my dresser!
And your closet door.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover guitar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Back to the Alan Nathan Show. Boy, it has been a pleasure. It's good to sit back in the chair again after some absence. Thank you to everyone at the Main Street Radio Network for allowing me to be part of the team. Our last guest for this hour is Sergeant Major John DeVertai. He is U.S. Army retired. Thank you so much, Sergeant Major, for your service. He spent 25 years of his 33 years in the Army as a Green Beret. His latest book is We Are America, A Voice from the Silent Majority. Thank you, John DeVertai, Sergeant Major, for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
Well, thank you for having me, and I appreciate the support from you and all your audience.
Yes. Yes, these are extraordinary times in which we're living. Talk about this book, We Are America, A Voice from the Silent Majority. We remember when Richard Nixon used such terms. Are you using it in the same way or a different way?
Well, it came between him and Thomas Paine of Common Sense. I was going to do Common Sense version 2, but it wasn't going to be a pamphlet. But what I do is I basically outline issues that affect the United States. Could be taxes, could be health care, illegal immigration, Middle East, NATO. Got a chapter in there on redesigning the Department of Defense. You know, and I don't bore people. I don't try and throw politics in there, try and keep everything away. I identify the problem. I give you a string of facts, and then I actually give you a conclusion at the very end. And the conclusions are sustainable. It's not constantly throwing money at a problem. I make people step up. If I'm going to help you as a Green Beret, when I try to help people, I'm like, I'll do stuff for you. But if you're going to sit on your butt, I'm not going to do it there. It's like, okay, you know, somebody asked me to come paint their house. I'll go over and help. You're going to sit there and watch sports while I'm painting your house? Yeah, you're not going to like the paint job.
So you want to tell Americans what they can do to help. Is that right?
Well, you're starting to see more of the moderate voice starting to come out, being forced upon them. Because when you look at the polls, the moderates are about 45% of the voting populace.
I'm not sure I understand what moderate is today when the entire political line has moved so far to the left that the Democrats are radical communists. Who's moderate when they're pushing mastectomies for 12-year-olds? I don't know what moderate is anymore, do you?
That's not a moderate. That's not a moderate.
Yeah, but I mean, it's changing, right? It changes enormously. So what would you define as a moderate?
So, and this is one of the problems, is when you see 45% of the voting population that don't affiliate with Democrats or Republicans, then you start seeing the far left, which is what you're seeing on the far left, and you start to see what on the far right as well. You these far left and far right candidates.
Yeah, but what's a far right candidate today?
Hang on. But what happens is when we're seeing right now with the mastectomies you're talking about, with the transgender issues and all this, the moderates start shifting more to the right. And so they're kind of a tide, or you know, a tide as it comes in and out. We kind of swing either way, and it depends on what's going on. So right now, you look at our economy. Okay. Well, the right's going to solve that problem. You look at the border. The right's going to solve that problem.
What do you mean, the right?
What's going on?
I don't understand.
The right, yeah. Well, you're going to the moderates are either your not dead center. You're either left of center or right of center is okay. What's going on.
I don't want to get bogged down in this, but the definition, you said you didn't want to get political in your book, and yet the whole definition of left and right today, how can that really apply when you've got a small number of people who have suspended the Constitution, equal justice, free speech, freedom of religion? All of those things are not only under attack, but are dwindling before our very eyes. So people who are just want to follow the Constitution and the rules on the books are now called far right by the communist left who doesn't want any of those things. You see what I mean? It's confusing rather than enlightening. So I would love for you to enlighten us further.
Well, again, who did that? Was it the moderates? No, it was the far left.
I don't know what a moderate is today.
Well,
you know,
well, that's the
either
problem.
You're for free speech or you're not. It's not moderate. You can't be moderately for the freedom of speech, moderately for the freedom of religion, and yet
okay,
people are saying they're moderate.
I see where you're at. You're thinking that we're half. You think that we're half stepping on certain issues. That's not true.
Okay.
All right. Moderates will go full bore on freedom of speech. You know, and some moderates will go full bore on the
And you'll be called a right-wing radical because free speech is an absolute to communists who would like to take it all the way.
You're absolutely correct. And I've been called that by far-left people. They're like, well, you're just a MAGA. You're this. I'm like,
right.
Not necessarily because
labels.
Also believe in these things, you know.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you know, and I'm like, look, you're trying to put me in a box. Moderates don't live in a box.
Is the goal.
We're outside the boxes. Exactly. Okay. Everybody wants to put everybody in a box. I've never been in a box.
Well, it's
my
not an everybody.
In the military, I was never in a box.
Okay.
I'm the worst, you know. And
just remember.
Everybody tries to categorize everything. It's not.
Just remember, equity, justice, and anti-racism is a way to put everybody in a box. Right. It's a way to say, you know, if you don't agree with me, you're a racist. If you don't agree with me, you're evil. You're a domestic terrorist. I mean, I just don't think the rules apply anymore. Let's ask in the very short minute, you said you believe in a lot of other things that are outside of the box. What are other things you also believe in?
Bring up a topic. What do you think is a big issue right now?
Okay. You know what? We do have like 2 minutes left. So why don't I give you the floor? Because that's what I should do. I'm talking to a wonderful sergeant major who served our country. What do you want us to know about this book? How can you get it? We got about a minute.
All right. So one of the hot topics for this election is going to be obviously the border and securing it. So what I described there in my book is there's a short-term and a long-term solution. And you have to do both. And neither one are doing both. Short-term is you control the border. And by controlling the border, it means you shut it down. You do a guest worker program, just like we had back in the day. We have people coming in here for 6 months working our ag, and I work agriculture as well. I go farming twice a year for a friend of mine up in Minnesota, and we're shorthanded. Every farmer up there is like, we're shorthanded.
Well, that's the law.
And
the law is not being
the third
followed.
The thing is you have to go down there. We provided security down there in Central America. We never followed up with the economic stimulation, which is the economic programs, the infrastructure. And we can steal all the jobs from China and bring it here in our own hemisphere and do it there. You get a twofer. And I'm all about screwing over the communists.
Major, we've got to go. How do people get your book? Yep. Got to run.
It's on Amazon. We Are America, A Voice from the Silent Majority. It's a quick read. It's an easy read. I advise you to read it with somebody and discuss.
Got to go. Thank you for joining us here on the Ellen Nathan Show. Be well. Be strong. Take care.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.